good thing. But the best thing is we got a lot of happy hearts and smiling faces in here to worship the Lord together. It's always great to do that. We have some visitors with us. We're glad to have you here. And we just look forward to you coming back and being with us again. We have been we've been looking at and studying over the last several months, looking at getting to know Jesus better. And our approach to that is looking at some different characteristics of Jesus, some things that the Bible tells us about Jesus as to who he is and what he does and those kinds of things. And my question has been in each one of these studies is, do you know my Jesus in this particular way? And so over the last week we began looking at two-part lesson here, looking at, do you know my Jesus as high priest? The Scriptures have a lot to say, in particular the writer of Hebrews has a lot to say about Jesus as our high priest. And he's got so much to say that we couldn't cover it all in one lesson, or we'd been here, you know, way, way long and so forth. So divided that into two lessons, we're going to finish with this part of our study this morning, continuing to look at Jesus as our high priest. Now, last week, as we began this part of our study, we talked about Jesus being, first of all, our sympathetic high priest. That the Scriptures tell us that because he's been, was made like us, he's able to sympathize with our weaknesses. Okay? We talk about Jesus as a representative high priest. That he's the one who represents us before the throne of God. And then we talk about Jesus being a better high priest. That is better than the high priests under the old covenant, you see. Now we're going to continue with kind of that same idea, kind of going on with that. Remember last week we left off with chapter 7, verse 22. We pick up this morning in chapter 7, verse 23. And we're looking at what the writer here talks about, the fact that Jesus is our permanent high priest. Okay? And I like this particular aspect of Jesus as a high priest because of what it means for you and I for our salvation. Take a look at what he says here. Again, in chapter 7, verse 23. Now, there have been many of those priests, and he's talking about those under the law of Moses in the covenantal time, but since death prevented them from continuing in office. Every time one high priest died, then they had to appoint another high priest. Okay? But because Jesus lives forever. Okay? Did you get that? How long does Jesus live? Forever. You see? So what that means is, not only is he never going to die, he always has been, always will be, he always will be our high priest. Okay? He has a permanent priesthood. You see? It is one that will last forever. Therefore, remember we talked last week, we've talked many times before about that word therefore. Based on what he's just said, therefore, he says, he is able to save. This is the part I like. He's able to save how much? Completely, he says. He is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. You see, what we need to understand about Jesus as our permanent high priest is not only does he live forever, and his priesthood is going to live forever, you see, but he's able to save us, not just part ways, not just some of the ways, not just to cleanse us to make us feel better, not even to roll our sins forward, you know, so we don't have to think about them for a while, but he's able to save completely by removing our sins through his blood. And the reason that that's so significant is because when those in Christ die, you don't have to worry about whether or not you're going to go to heaven. You see? Because if you've been saved completely, see, then you're going to heaven. You see? And the reason that's so important is because I've had conversations with people in the past, and one in particular that stands out in my mind is a sister in Christ who is an older lady. She'd been in the church for, you know, most of her life, and she was a good woman who served the Lord tremendously, and she was on her deathbed. And as I spoke with her just before she died, she expressed her fear to me about whether or not God had actually forgiven her of some of the sins in her life. And here she was getting ready to die, and she's worried about whether or not she had been forgiven. Well, if I understand what the writer is saying right here, you say, we have a high priest who forgives us completely. He saves us completely. So when we die, we're getting ready to die, we don't have to wonder, well, you know, I know that the Bible says that God forgives us, but what about this sin? It was pretty bad. And what about that sin? And I don't know for sure if God really forgave me of these things in my life, because that was a pretty bad time in my life. And the point is, you don't have to worry about that. Isn't that great? You don't have to worry about that at all, because He says He saves us completely. You see? Even though you're not going to have this body, this physical body, when you go to heaven, you see, whatever kinds of arms or legs or face or nose or whatever it is we're going to have in that glorious body, it's going to be complete, you see. In other words, He's not going to say, well, hey, you know, you sin using your hands, so your hand's not going to be saved. No, He's saving all of us. You see? He's going to save the whole thing. All right? And He's able to save completely those who call upon Him. So that means all of us, too. You see? Not just part of us. There's no certain number of spaces in heaven where you got to get your ticket first before somebody else does, because He can't completely save all those who call upon Him. Oh, no. He can save completely. Look at what He says here. He saves completely those who come to God through Him. That's all of those. Not just some of them. As people teach today that there's going to be some people who are going to be stuck down here, you know, on earth, because they're not going to get to go to heaven. Only a certain number are going to go. Oh, no. Oh, no. He saves completely. The whole person and the whole church. You see? Everybody. I like that kind of a high priest. How about you? You see? He is that permanent high priest. Look at what he says here. How many sacrifices did the high priest have to offer? Day after day they had to go in and offer these sacrifices. And once a year the high priest had to go in and offer a sacrifice of atonement on behalf of the sins of the people. But look at what he says. This high priest, look at verse 27. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day. First for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when He offered Himself. It's one sacrifice, that's all it took. One sacrifice, one time, and that sacrifice was done for all, for everyone. Which goes along with the promise that God made to Abraham originally, doesn't it? When He told Abraham that through you, help me out here, all nations of the earth would be blessed. You see? And Jesus offered that sacrifice for all. Okay? For all. And so we have this permanent high priest where He's able to save completely, and He is our high priest forever. His sacrifice then has permanent effects. You see, it's not just a short-term thing where He offers a sacrifice and then has to come back and offer it again because the effects wear off like they did under the old law. Oh, no. The effects of this sacrifice never wear off. They are permanent. But then the writer also talks about us having a superior high priest. Last week we finished up with looking at us having a better high priest. This isn't just better. This is superior. A superior high priest. Look, beginning in chapter 8, verse 1. The point of what we're saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, and who serves, present tense, okay, who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by men. You see, we have a superior high priest because, first of all, he serves, present tense, he's continuing to serve in a better sanctuary. They, that is the high priest under the old law, served in an earthly sanctuary, one that was built by men. Built according to the instructions of God, but built by men as a temporary place. It never was intended to be permanent. You see? That place that they served in was a shadow or a copy of the real thing which is in heaven, where our high priest now serves. You see? And by the way, that's why, and the writer here continues on, he tells us this, that's why it was so important, and God told Moses when he was giving him the instructions, see to it that you make it exactly according to the pattern I showed you on the mountain. Why? Because that sanctuary, that tabernacle in the wilderness, first of all, was to be a copy or a shadow of what was really in heaven, of the reality of those things. So it wasn't a matter of that God said, I want you to build a sanctuary, go ahead and do it however you want to, and Moses just come up with, you know, his own plan. No, God was very specific as to how that sanctuary was to be built because it was to represent the true tabernacle which is in heaven, which is where our high priest serves at this present time. In the true sanctuary, which is at the right hand of the throne of God. He serves in that superior sanctuary as a superior high priest. And the ministry that he has is superior to the ministry that the high priest had under the old law. Look in verse 6 here. We'll start in verse 5. They serve, that is, those of the old law serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned, what we just said, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern you've shown on your mountain. Verse 6, but the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, and it is founded on better promises. So the high priest is superior. The place that he serves is superior. The promises that he serves under are superior. And the covenant that he serves is superior. All to that which was of the old. What an awesome high priest we have. You see? But understand, none of this was an afterthought by God. This was all part of the way that God had planned these things so that in the end, you and I would be able to, as we saw last week and we'll see again in just a moment, when we approach the throne of grace, we can do that with confidence. And the fact that we can approach the throne of grace in and of itself is a great privilege for those in Christ today that the Israelites did not have under the old priesthood, you see? So how much superior is our high priest than the ones that they had under the old law? So much so, this particular covenant that we have of Christ today is founded on better promises. The promise that they had, that covenant was all based on, you see, was a promise that God was going to take care of them and take them to a land that He was going to give them as their special land, and it would lead them to that rest that God had given them. But it was a physical rest. But the covenant that you and I have today is one where God promises to bring us to a permanent rest in heaven. You see, not a temporary place, not a physical place, but a spiritual rest to be with Him forever in heaven. And that's another part of what makes him a superior high priest. So much so that the old covenant and the old sanctuary and all of the things under that old law were made obsolete by the new. The new and not only better, but superior high priest and superior covenant based on superior promises. Well, as we continue looking at this whole idea and we look at this high priest that we have, what else makes him so special? It's that we have a heavenly high priest. Look over in chapter 9. This is where we're going to finish this morning. Chapter 9, beginning in verse 11. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not part of this creation. He did not enter by the means of the blood of bulls and calves, but He entered the most holy place once for all by His own blood, having obtained eternal, underline that word right there, eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? Yeah. Yeah. You see, Jesus didn't just enter into the Holy of Holies in the earthly tabernacle. He entered into the throne room of Almighty God as our high priest. And not only did He enter there offering a sacrifice, but it wasn't a sacrifice of the blood of bulls and calves and goats. It was His own blood that He offered as that sacrifice. And not only did He offer that sacrifice of His blood, but it wasn't just to make us feel better. It was to cleanse us from our sins. That's what's happening for you and I right now today. Yeah. You say, well, wait a minute, Russ. Jesus died 2,000 years ago. Oh, yeah, He did. But remember, He's a permanent high priest, right? And He serves, that is present tense, in that sanctuary. So that work is still ongoing. How do we know that? Look over in 1 John chapter 1 for just a moment. 1 John chapter 1. Beginning in verse 5, John says, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with God, yet walk in the darkness, we lie, and the truth is not in us. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And listen to this, and the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. And the word for purifies in the original language is written in the present tense. And the reason that that's significant for you and I today is because that means it's happening right now. You see? It is happening right now. And so literally what that text is saying, that as long as we are walking in the light, His blood continues to purify us. It is an ongoing action. It is happening in our lives today, right now. Wow. What a great high priest we have. You see, the significance of that is so, it's so awesome that He didn't just go in and do it so we feel better, as I said a moment ago, but He continues His blood, the blood that He offered of Himself for our sins, continues to work its power in our lives today so that we can be free from the bondage of sin. You see, all of that under the old law, the Israelites received that after being freed from bondage and slavery in Egypt. And they were given all of those regulations as a temporary measure until they could be brought to Christ, when the true high priest would come and offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins through his blood in the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, not on earth, but in the throne room of Almighty God. And that is the kind of high priest that we have, a heavenly high priest who is there presently in the throne room of heaven, continuing to purify us through his blood of our sins. He did it only once is all it took. He didn't have to go back. And the writer continues on talking about how they, that is the high priest under the old law, had to keep going back day after day and year after year to offer those sacrifices which never took away sins. But Jesus offered that sacrifice one time and then sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That is why, if you look in chapter 10, beginning in verse 19, the writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God," since all of those conditions exist, he says, "let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching." We go back to what I referred to you as earlier when we saw these are the lettuce statements. Okay? Because of these conditions that exist right now for you and I, let us do these things. You see? Because we have confidence to enter the most holy place. Okay? That is the very throne room of Almighty God. When you bow your head in prayer, you go to God in prayer, you are entering into the most holy place, the very throne room of Almighty God. And the reason we can do that is because of our high priest. Because He has gone through the heavens before us and opened that curtain that separated us from God. And He made it possible for us to approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Wow. What an awesome, awesome high priest we have. Do you know Jesus as a high priest? Do you know my Jesus as that high priest who went into the Holy of Holies, to the throne room of God, who offered His blood for you? Not just to make you feel better, but to take your sins away. To save you completely, not partially, but completely. So that you could enjoy the blessing of an eternal life with Him. Do you know my Jesus as your high priest? Perhaps there's someone here this morning who has accepted Christ as your high priest, but maybe there's things in your life, perhaps maybe Satan has been, you know, wreaking havoc and you're in the midst of some intense spiritual warfare, as we've talked about many times before. You need help with that. You need prayers and strength, encouragement. That's what we just saw here. Let us encourage one another daily. That's what we want to do. So if there's someone here that's struggling with something like that or whatever it is, then let us know so we can help you with that. There's someone here this morning who's not given your life to Christ yet. You need to know that you're still lost in your sins. You're still separated from God by those sins. But the great thing is, and the great news is, that Jesus, as we just saw, He died. His blood was shed so that you could be free from your sins. And we offer that opportunity for you this morning if that's what you need to do. To repent of your sins, to call upon Jesus as your Lord and your High Priest. Have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. If that's what you're ready to do, to make that commitment. We're here to serve you in any way that we can. I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone who would like to come up and make a public confession. Ted will be in the back to receive anyone who'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him in the back. We're here to serve you and to help you to get to know Jesus more and more in your life. Let's stand together and sing.